Here's our TSN hockey insider, Darren Dreger. Is that a fair assessment of the Panthers? Soft team, deserve what they're getting? That's Keith Tkachuk this morning on First Up.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But, hey, we'll get into that. Look, I want to apologize. I couldn't make it last night with you, Brian, and Noodles. It was a late invite.
Yeah, it was.
I don't ever remember getting court-tied seats the way that you guys had. But, Yeah, I know. I appreciate that.
We tried to get you in, Dregs.
What about this one? This is more pathetic. Him flagging down the camera guy saying, can you just give us a little nibble?
That's not true.
Dude, I have heard from inside
completely
people. Can you give
untrue.
Us a nibble?
That's gutless. That is absolutely categorically untrue. Would never
bring
happen.
The corn on the cob down here and give me a nibble, please. That's what he said.
It's entirely believable because, and I've heard, I listened to the segment earlier, and yeah, Noodles was uncomfortable. There's no question about that. He was
very
he was looking for the blanket. He wanted to climb underneath. Brian, you were making love to that camera.
I was.
It
was sultry.
All over it. Yeah. So,
he did that camera dirty, Darren.
That was like I popped a Viagra before that thing showed up.
Oh my God. Pitched a tent.
Possibility to that, I think it was a setup.
I was loving the camera last night. I can't lie to you, Dregs. I can't lie. It was a good scene down there.
I know.
But,
anyway, we were talking about Florida.
Yes. Disappointment. You know, the blue steel. That's what it is. A fraudulent look, you know, basically. But what I had going last night. That's the Panthers this year.
Yeah. Well, it seems that way, but I guess you applaud the effort and the fight to the finish here, and that's where you're going to find out from that group. I've talked to Paul Maurice a couple of times, several times, in fact, over the course of this year, not recently. Get into the second half, and you like to give the coaches and the managers as much space post-trade deadline as you can. I don't know. There's a lot missing there. And I heard you guys coming in the segment talk about Matthew Tkachuk. And I think I've been more impressed or as impressed as I've ever been in Matthew Tkachuk and what he's delivered in Florida, right? Like he was getting the heat in Calgary at the end and the matchup against McDavid and company in the Battle of Alberta and all that. He has found a way to be a difference maker in Florida. And then beyond Barkov and some of the other pieces that they were hoping that they were going to be able to rely on, they haven't been able to do that this year. So it is going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward with this team because it doesn't feel to me like they're that far away from being decent or good or really good. But what does that mean, and how do you, you know, make those changes and adjustments to make that way in the off season? So it could be a lot of work ahead.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. So it is Panthers-Leafs tonight. Which Maple Leaf player and where they're going to be slated in the lineup intrigues you more? Is it Michael Bunting and his standing up front or Morgan Rielly on the back end?
Good question. I feel like Morgan Rielly deserves more respect. And not that Bunting should be disrespected. Let's not misconstrue what I'm trying to say here. Just feels like Morgan Rielly has a little bit more real estate to work with here than Bunting. And I don't make out as much of the exchange that I saw the other night. We all saw. I don't know. Like it was awkward and it was a bit weird. But both guys, Sheldon Keefe and Michael Bunting have talked about it. But it feels like it's up to Michael Bunting to figure out a way to get this back on track here. And by back on track, I'm not talking about whatever relationship he has or he doesn't have with Sheldon Keefe. Let's assume it's decent. It's player coach. I mean, sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. He's got everything to play for because it's a contract year. But it's also been abundantly clear this year that the coach isn't afraid to knock him down a peg or two when he feels like it's needed. You know, guys, we know going into the playoffs that when you got a hair trigger or you're vulnerable or you're a beacon, and that's probably the biggest issue here, is the reputation that Bunting has earned in his time with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Some of it's okay, but a lot of it's not so good from an officiating perspective. And That's a tough label to scrape off when you're going into the playoffs, because as hard as he works, he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a really, really good player and can be effective. He can also be costly, right, in a tough situation where you just can't afford to take that penalty.
Well, with that said, I think it's a good segue into this Matthew Nyes conversation, where Nyes is not available to him, to them. He's not going to be available, I don't believe, until next weekend now at the earliest.
But,
you know, depending on who you talk to in the city, some people believe he steps in and plays. Others believe that he doesn't have a chance of doing that. I would fall in the latter group, because I just think you're asking a lot out of a young guy to step into this type of a situation against Tampa and be effective. And I'm curious, Dregs, how you think, like, a coach like Sheldon Keefe or any coach, like, you've dealt with so many coaches over the years. Like, generally, they think the worst possible outcome. And the idea of putting a kid like that in a big moment, what if he's prone to turnovers? What if he takes bad penalties? Like, we don't have that answer. But until we know it, I'm not sure Keith will have faith in him.
I feel like it would be not last case or worst case scenario, but it'd be pushing that, right? For all the reasons, Brian, that you've just talked about here. You know, I mean, yeah, the kid's been a real good NCAA player, and his season isn't over, and maybe he leads that team to, you know, greatness. Who knows? Let's see how it all plays out. But to step on the NCAA, where, again, you're an impact player, and into an NHL playoff game, I mean, that's a tall ask. That's a big ask. And especially with a team that is as deep as the Toronto Maple Leafs profess to be. I mean, Dubas went out of his way to make sure that, you know, all areas outside of goaltending were covered. So then how do you explain that if you're a healthy roster, that you're bringing Matthew Nyes from the NCAA, you know, he's just been removed, you know, kicked to the sideline. Okay, you have one practice, and here we go. Let's buckle up. We're going into a Stanley Cup playoff game. I think it's too much, and I also think that, to your point, coaches are more safe than they are willing to take a risk. I think it has to be injury or a player just flat out not getting it done, or Nyes coming in with, you know, kind of fire on his tail to convince Sheldon Keefe that he's ready. I don't buy it. I think the time with Nyes with the Toronto Maple Leafs in that environment is healthy. I just don't necessarily see it in game one, but let's see how the series progresses, and maybe you have to do make a knee-jerk decision.
Dregs, we were talking in the last hour about, we talk about fire on the tail. Winnipeg loses last night, and the Flames are now 2 points behind. Both teams, I mean, Winnipeg, different story, because 6 weeks ago it looked a lot different. Joe from the Bridge actually sent us a stat. What was it? It was Winnipeg was like fifth in the league in points percentage in January. Mm-hmm. Now they're 14th and hanging on. You getting any sense out of there that they've reverted back to their kind of, you know, maybe lack of better words, some guys needed an attitude adjustment? Like, something wasn't right there last year, and it seems like it looks like that again now.
Yeah, you're right on it, Noodles. And I'll tell you what, start of the year, this preseason, I go into Winnipeg and I do all those sit-down interviews, and there's Shifley and there's Dubois and there's Blake Wheeler, Rick Bonus, and, you know, you talk to all these guys, and it felt like the players most definitely took ownership for disappointment. Shifley vowed, you know, here's what I have to do individually. Here's what I did in the offseason. Here's what I'm going to do moving forward. Blake Wheeler, yeah, he was disappointed, you know, the way the leadership thing went. But he understood it, and he vowed to be better. Pierre-Luc Dubois, the contract wasn't going to be a distraction. Now, Dubois has been in and out of the lineup because of injury. Blake Wheeler, I think we can all see, man, he's had a good career. He really, truly has. He's been a warrior for the Winnipeg Jets. I don't think he can be a top six forward on a consistent basis. In fact, we can see he can't be. So then you fast forward to where Rick Bonus was last night post-game. Holy smokes. I mean, talk about a coach wearing his heart on his sleeve. But Bonus is also at a place in his coaching career where he started the season by taking the C off Blake Wheeler. And let's see how this year wraps up. But you think he's going down with kid gloves? No chance. Like, he's calling it like he sees it. And there's just not enough coming from that core group. So I fast forward to the off season, and I don't know what's going to happen there, but we can all see what the speculation is. Okay, Dubois is going to say, I don't want to re-sign or extend. Let's find out if that's true or not, but that's likely what's going to happen. The speculation around Mark Scheifele is heating up minute by minute. You know, is it time for a change? I think Winnipeg would probably say yes, and Scheifele would probably say yes. Problem is, when you get past those primary pieces, and those are big pieces, then guess what you have to look at? Connor Hellebuyck. You think Connor Hellebuyck's sitting in the corner going, yeah, I'll suck it up. I'll stop the pucks, and let's go through a retool or a renovation. I don't think that's going to happen. There's big time issues ahead, I think, in Winnipeg.
What is the Dubois scenario? Is that what the word around town is, Dregs, that he's going to tell them that, well, he's got 1 year after this one that he won't re-sign?
Well, that's the belief. That's the speculation. But we don't know that to be sure. What I know is Winnipeg wants to invest deeply in Pierre-Luc Dubois. They see him as being part of the solution. And, you know, not that anybody is a significant part of the problem, but every club needs a refresh, right? Well, if you're able to extend Pierre-Luc Dubois, then maybe that gives you a little bit more flexibility to consider a Scheifele deal. But if you're not able to do that, if you go through the same process you went through last year, where Dubois says, nah, you know what, I'm not going to extend. Here's what I want to do. Then that puts it back on the table of shovel day off in the Winnipeg Jets. All right, well, he's not going to extend. What do we do? Do we trade him now? Do we wait? Do we play this thing out a little bit? It's going to be interesting. I did a radio show in Montreal, TSN Montreal this morning, where we had a bit of a debate because the percentages of Pierre-Luc Dubois ending up in Montreal are close to 100%. Right. 95% was a number that was thrown at me. And I was flustered by it because I thought they meant for next year. And I'm like, well, okay, well, hold on a minute here. You know, Winnipeg isn't gifting Pierre-Luc Dubois to the Montreal Canadiens. So we had to get all that kind of straightened out. But Noodles, you've talked about this too. You look at the middle of the ice in Winnipeg with those guys, Scheifele and Dubois, and then you take those two guys out of that lineup. How do you correct those, or how do you fill those holes by a trade in a short period of time when you lose two pieces like that? It's just going to be interesting to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Like, didn't his agent go on radio in Montreal, though, last summer and say that he wants to be in Montreal?
Something at the draft, wasn't it?
At the draft, yeah. I think, is it Brisson? I can't remember who's...
Yeah, Pat Brisson. I don't remember exactly what he said, but...
I don't think Pat would do that.
Oh, I'm telling you.
No, that sounds sketchy. No, that sounds...
Grappler?
I think I'm getting radioed here, okay?
No. I'm telling you. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was a radioing, but I remember reading it thinking, wow, that's really blunt. That, like, he effectively, like, dreams of playing in Montreal. Like, you know, it wasn't specifically 100% going to be a hab, but let's find that grappler and send it to me so I can try to get some confirmation on that, because I recall hearing it or seeing it and being like, wow, that's interesting. But the Jets they're in a weird place, man. They are in a weird place. How about the Mem Cup going to Saginaw? Like, what goes into that, Dregs? The idea of having the Memorial Cup in an American city. I don't believe it's the first time it's happened, but I love that idea.
Like, remind me, Brian, who is in contention? I should know this off the top of my head, but I just had lunch with an OHL parent, non-related, and we were discussing this, and he actually thought Saginaw was a good choice.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I think it was Sault Ste. Marie was in. I think Kingston might have been in on it. But just the idea of it being an American host, I don't know. I find that kind of interesting.
Yeah, maybe that's it, though. Every once in a while, you got to throw the bone, right, and kind of sprinkle the infield. But from all accounts, I've never been to Saginaw, so I can't tell you what it is. I know the organization is a decent one. Beyond that, though... I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on in the OHL today.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see how it all plays out.
Greg, that report I read today was probably the most outrageous thing I think I've ever seen.
Where got the an report extra 30 is, grand?
Some parents were paying upwards of $30,000 for their kids to get drafted.
Yeah,
I mean,
what?
It's actually asinine. But that's how crazy parents are. Like, if you're a crazy
Rick
parent.
Rick Rust had reported that there has been some leaking of parents that have paid $30,000 for their child to be drafted.
Anywhere in the draft or first round.
Dude, I do not know the fine print of it or the details, but that is what I almost passed out as soon as I read the headline.
We're going to have to check Bill Hayes' statements.
Yeah, I got to go back on his tax reforms.
No kidding. They would have wanted a mill for you.
They probably would have. You're probably right.
I will say this, like, that speculation rumor has been out there for a long time. It has been. I know David Branch, commissioner of the OHL, basically refuted it, right? Like, he said there was an investigation that was conducted and they found no truth. I don't know. I'm not part of the investigation or part of, you know, Rick Westhead's reporting, but that sort of speculation has been out there for
a while. What are they going to do with it? It's not like it's illegal behavior. It might be shady and kind of gross, but it's like if some scout sitting in a rink and someone goes, look, man, I'll give you 25 or 30K. Can you just draft this guy?
Hey,
and the guy goes, yeah, I'm not giving you any guarantees. He's probably going to get cut. And if the guy with the cash nods his head, you say, fork it over, pal.
Christy Pitts.
Hey, look, I mean, you can dig into just about any level of hockey, not to crap on Ontario specifically, because maybe it happens in other provinces. Look at the Tier 2 leagues and what some parents are paying to have their kids play in the OJHL. Like, it's, come on. Like,
yeah, I don't get that. I could understand paying for your kid to go to, like, a college, you know, because you're literally going to pay anyway for the college experience.
So desperation. Desperation.
But the OHL, it's
when all the parents are standing around and the one parent saying, my kid's rated in the second round, and the oddball is so jealous that he says, I got to do something to get into this combo.
Got to get drafted.
Is sad, and it's disgusting.
How do you land on 30K, too? Like, is there a negotiation
there? No, if it's 30. If it's 30, why wouldn't you just say 100? You give me 100.
Your kid's brutal. It's going to be 100. I give you a hunch. That's tough.
So weird. I mean, again, if it's true, it is ridiculous. But, you got to give the benefit of the doubt that maybe it's hearsay, but who knows? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, it's not hearsay. What I would say is I've never heard the 30,000 number, so the numbers might be refuted, but I think that there's enough evidence to suggest
someone's getting paid.
Stuff like that would never happen in the Western Hockey League.
No, you guys are
never.
Just everyone's got integrity. Everyone's chock full of character at West.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it would happen in the queue, because guess what? I got the quote right here. Now, let me clarify this, that it was in French and then translated to English. Okay, so take that into consideration. Pat Brisson talking about Pierre-Luc Dubois. And at the time, Pierre-Luc Dubois was an RFA. He did not have a contract, so he was a restricted free agent. This is the quote, again, French to English. Quote, Montreal is a city he would probably, goes on to say, I can talk about it because he doesn't have a contract at the moment. Montreal is a place and a city he'd like to play in. That's all I can say about that, end quote. So, take that for what it's worth.
No, you said that he definitely wanted to go to Montreal and would do anything possible according to the agent.
Well, no, I don't think I said anything possible. Now you're radioing me. Why is the shoe on the other foot here? But the point being is, the fact that he even said, like, usually, you know how agents can be. Like, they're very careful. Like, and Brisson's one of the bigger ones in the whole industry. He's admitting, Montreal. Now, maybe it was about, who knows? Maybe it was about offer sheets, trying to get a contract extension going, contract talks. I'm not sure. But it does seem like, to your point, people in Montreal almost feel like it's a foregone conclusion he's going to be a Hab someday.
Well, that's fair. But if I'm Winnipeg, I go to Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens this year, and I say, okay, I need this, this, and that. And let's
Absolutely.
Let's get it done right now. That's what I would do.
Agreed. Maybe it's 30K. Maybe it's 30 grand. I need 30 grand to get this guy from Winnipeg to Montreal. Anything's possible.
That's funny.
All right, Dregs. We'll leave it there. Thank you, buddy.
Yay, boys. Have a good night.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, I had not seen that. 30 grand to get your kid drafted.
It's insane, but
that's wild.
Knowing what you guys know about minor hockey systems and everything,
I wasn't shocked.
Like anywhere, were you shocked or not?
No, I wouldn't be shocked if it was a guaranteed spot on the team. What I'm getting hung up by is the idea that it's drafted. Like drafted, what does that do for you? If you're an eighth or ninth round pick, you're probably not going to play for the team.
Well, the guy who's pulling the trigger on this transaction, by the way, this is all hearsay. We don't know.
Well, it's reporting. I mean, it's been reported.
Yeah, it's been reported. But the whole idea of the transaction, the guy accepting the money would say, look, I can put in a bug in someone's ear and tell them to select him in the 12th round, but that's all you're getting. After that, he might show up to camp and people might laugh at him and tell him to get his ass out of here.
Yeah.
But as far as pulling the trigger on saying he got drafted, give me the 30 grand and I'll make it happen.
Yeah.
That's easy.
I obviously, and to your, yes, exactly. And if
dude,
a team
the later
is
rounds
to take
of
it,
the OHL draft, people used to just look around and just say, I'd take that
well,
guy.
That's the whole point. Like CHL is loaded with walk-ons, late bloomers, college players that leave college to come play in the CHL. Like, if you're not one of the top, you know, if you're not an underage pick, effectively, like, if you're not 16 and getting picked, then, you know, there's no guarantees. Like, there is a caste system in the CHL in terms of, like, the high-end young players coming into the league and then players that show up at any other given time, and it has nothing to do with your draft status. Like, they're not sitting there saying, wow, we took him in the eighth, we should really give him a shot. They flip picks in the OHL like they're Skittles. Like, they trade. Remember last year at the deadline? Maybe it was this year. It's like 5 first rounders, 2 second rounders, 3. Like, these guys, if you're all in, they trade everything
to bring
in Shane Wright, to bring in whoever it is.
That happened. You're right. The Shane Wright situation that happened in the Western Hockey League, too, I believe, Kamloops and Seattle loaded up. Like, the Seattle, I was talking to a coach in the WHL the other day, said Seattle is basically an AHL team. Like, legitimately, an AHL
loaded
team, how good they are. So it'd be interesting to see. You're right. Like, there is always some funny business that happens at, you know, different levels. But that one, I just, you know, reading that report, I was like, man, oh, man. Like, how desperate do you have to be to...
Well, it's like, where would you... You can't go to a pro team. They're just going to laugh at you. Like, you can't... But, like, is it possible to go to the next level and go to the NHL and say, I'll give you 250 grand to draft my kid?
No, it's to go and tell your crony buddies at the coffee shop or at the hockey rink that your kid got drafted to the O. That's how sad and pathetic.
Well, I understand that, but I'm saying, what's the next step? Like, when the kid's 18, is it calling it? What would stop them from calling
the kid,
NHL teams?
It's sitting the kid. Dude, are you serious?
What would stop them from asking? It's not that they would get a yes, but what would
because
stop a guy from saying,
go
I got money?
The plate. It's going to grow across the plate of a director of hockey or player personnel or scouting, and then they're going to say, are you high?
Yeah.
No way.
Of course not.
In the OHL, they'll be like, well, I guess. I've never heard of that guy, but go ahead. Yeah, I'll stand by this guy. And then when he shows up at camp, you're jeopardizing yourself by both actions, bringing in a goon player that's no good and accepting the cash.
Yeah. 30 grand is a lot of money.
Well, here's the reasoning that, you know, the parents believe being drafted gives player pedigree and helps them prep.
Look at the reason right here from Rick Westhead,
the
ETL coach.
But the thing
status,
is how about pay the
USHL?
You know, like that's what I mean. You pay the school 30 grand for your kid to go there. Like, you know, helps some prep schools justify making them offers.
Yeah, it says it right there on the tweet. GTHL, status USHL typically doesn't look at kids from Canada unless they're drafted. Said parents believe being drafted gives the players pedigree and helps some prep school justify making them offers.
I'm going to say this. It might piss people off. Maybe your kid's not that good.
No kidding. Honestly, that's what this is all about.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, not everyone can play in the NHL. And I know in Canada that the saying is everyone's a breakaway away from playing in the NHL. It's not the truth. It's really, like, if you look at the numbers, especially now that it's a world league, it's not just a bunch of Canadian players, some Americans, and a couple Russians. Like, it's a world league, and the numbers
are
dwindling.
That's what the major problem in kids' sports, Jamie, is. They're not putting their kids in hockey to have fun and meet friends and to be competitive and play the great sport. Their only motivation them from starting hockey is to make it to the NHL. And it sets the kid up for failure, because when they don't make it and they can't even make it to the OHL or even earlier than that, the parents are pissed off at the kids, and it's lunacy. It is complete lunacy.
I tell people all the time, if you're good enough, you're going to make it. Nowadays, there's so much scouting. There's so much buzz. There's so
much. No kidding. Like, and they get so caught up in all the stuff that has to go into it. I want to train with McDavid. I want to eat like Gary Roberts. I want to work out like this guy. It's nuts.
But obviously, they've found a way to circumvent the system. Like, that's clearly, like, it's actually not the case, because it's not about being, you don't get drafted necessarily because they found you. You might get drafted because they got $30,000, right? Like, that's what it is. You're talking a small percentage of people that have access to that kind of money that would be willing to spend it on that. I mean, you're talking about incredible privilege here, where it's like $30,000, yeah, I could do it so that my kid can go play in the USHL, you know, or go to a prep school. It almost sounds like an Americans. Like, is it American money that's coming up and saying, hey, I got a kid, I want him to go to this school, get him on the radar, here's $30,000, can you take him in the fourth round? Okay, Sioux Greyhounds, boom.
It's lunacy,
or whoever,
man. It's, you know, absolute lunacy.
I should name a team. I don't know what team would ever do that.
Yeah, so you were just giving...
I'm just speaking in generalities.
Example,
that's clearly what's... If this is true, then they're circumventing the system, you know, and could be screwing over someone that deserves to be picked at that spot.
Just a weird, it's a weird transaction to go down. That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
a weird thing.
The NFL looking at flexing their Thursday night football options, and some of the players not overly happy about this idea. We'll tell you about that. Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel later in the hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.